That train's still running. Still hearing the horn. Or whatever it is. Getting used to it. And we're used to trains in general. And we're used to trains going through tunnels. Going over bridges. They even plow through large quantities of snow. If you're watching a train traveling along next to a long body of water, and all of a sudden it took a hard left and plunged into that water and went underwater, that would be quite surprising, wouldn't it? A little unexpected. Because that's not where trains go. That's not how trains get from point A to point B. Through mountains, via a tunnel? Yes. Sometimes under the ground, underwater, via a tunnel? Yes. Bridges? Over water? Yes. But they don't plunge into water and travel through it? That's not how trains get from point A to point B. Unless, of course, that great train is not perfect. God's purpose moving forward in His way. And God's purpose moving forward in His way is always surprising to us. He does unexpected things. Because He is God and not man. We want Him to think like us, but He doesn't. We think He should think like us, but He doesn't. And when He doesn't think like us, so surprised. In our passage this morning in Acts chapter 8, that freight train takes a hard left and plunges straight into the water. And it's not an accident. It continues to move underwater from point A to point B. God accomplishes what He has promised. That shouldn't be a surprise. But He does so in unexpected ways. We're in Acts chapter 7, 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I'm going to read 26 at the end of the chapter. Now, or then, and we'll get back to when then is, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture that he was reading is this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now, this is a very strange and unique passage. That's why it's recorded. Normal things, regular things, don't necessarily get recorded. this gets recorded. In order to understand how truly strange this is, we have to realize, when is this? Where is this? Who? Look at the when. I picked up reading, but if you had been reading all the way through, or if you have a really, 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 really good memory, and you remember the last couple of weeks, when it says, now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, or then, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, you're going to remember where Philip is. Philip is in Samaria. Not some area. I haven't forgotten where, but some area. That's where he is, among those who are half-breeds, half-Jewish, half-Gentile. Look back in chapter 8, verse 4. The death of Stephen caused a scattering of all those who were in Jerusalem. Verse 4 of chapter 8, Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Don't confuse down with north or south. Down means Jerusalem higher, and he went literally down. But he's actually heading north if you look at a map. He went up to Samaria, but he went down from Jerusalem. He proclaimed the Christ, and the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Verse 9 brings up Simon and the contrast here. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, that is to Simon, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God and is called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Where is Philip when we pick up in verse 26? He's in Samaria. And the crowds are hearing him preach Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross, buried, and rose again, seated at the Father's right hand. He's going to come back. And now all who turn from their disobedience, their rebellion to God, and believe in Jesus, are baptized in his name to see forgiveness of their sins. And there's great joy in that city, and the crowds are baptized. The apostles come up, they lay their hands, the Holy Spirit, that was last week. The apostles leave, actually specifically Peter and John, they travel through. Verse 24, traveling through Samaria. 25, they testified the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. There's a revival in Samaria. These half-breeds who wouldn't go down to the temple, who had diverted from the true God, now come to hear about the true God, become man, Jesus Christ, and they believe. And there's Philip. He's their evangelist. He's their teacher. And they need instruction. They were following this guy Simon, who was a sorcerer. They need to be grounded in the Word of God now and taught. In the midst of that great revival, and huge in the crowd, listening and paying attention to Philip, that's when the angel of the Lord said, Philip, rise to go to the south. Is that what you would tell someone to leave? Look at the need. Look at the number. Look at the response. And yet that's when the Lord tells Philip, sharp turn. I'm going to walk. Head south. That is unexpected. You We're thinking, okay, we want to get news about Jesus' house. We want these Samaritans to be grounded in the truth, to grow in the faith, be strong and steadfast. And they're responding to Philip and paying attention to him, and there's much fruit there. Philip, just stay there. But an angel of the Lord said, arise, go south. Angel of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord. You can ask all kinds of questions about that. The bottom line is this. The Lord made very clear to Philip, time to leave. When you and I wouldn't want to leave, when we wouldn't expect someone to leave, that's when the Lord tells Philip. And where does he send you? Where? Down to a road that is in a desert place. If you know our local geography, it's a little bit like Philip is in the East Bay area originally, Jerusalem. There's a persecution. So he goes up to Sacramento with lots of people. And there's a response. And there's great fruit. That's what he would say. There's a revival. Mass conversion. And then the Lord says, now go down to this lonely road here in the desert. That's where. That's where. And then the rest of the narrative tells us. He then goes up a little town on the coast, and he goes up further and kind of ends up in Mendocino. If you were thinking about our geography. He ends up in Caesarea. And you don't hear from him again. Or about him again until later on. And he's got daughters. Or he was already married and returned to his wife and family. Or he settles down in Caesarea and with a woman and a wife and has kids. We don't know. But certainly what's going on here is extraordinary. And he ends up in Caesarea, and that's more ordinary. But this is extraordinary. And counterintuitive. Contrary to what you and I would think. He didn't weigh to move forward with God's purpose. But God says, go. Philip ran up the chariot on that desert road. Then there's the food. Not someone who could be accepted into full-fledged Judaism. Wouldn't be seen as an Israelite complete because he's incomplete. He's a eunuch. We don't know. Is he actually a black Ethiopian? Does he have one parent who is Jewish? One parent who is not? Is he full-fledged Ethiopian, but he's a proselyte? He's a believer in the God of Israel? We don't know exactly. But we do know he was in Jerusalem to worship. And he has a copy of Isaiah. Now, you and I are used to copies of God's Word. You go to Walmart and get a copy of God's Word. This is rare indeed. This is strange. Here's this Ethiopian unit alone on a desert road. Has to fill up the floor to go to him. And yes, and the unit is reading. How does Philip know who he's reading? He's reading out loud. Because that's the way they read. And that's the way Scripture was written. It was written, he read out loud, it was written, he heard. Very few had a copy, he had a copy. Ethiopian unit, middle of nowhere. What's going on here? This just doesn't make any sense if you look at it. It's hard left plunging straight into the water. Counterintuitive. Illogical! We didn't even say stupid. This isn't the way you move forward. You're gonna go from crowds hearing Philip preach Jesus, believing and being baptized to a lonely road. One guy who at most is on the fringe, on the outskirts of the eunuch, works for a pagan, non king, Pharaoh. What is wrong? Who felt the beginning? First thing I wrote was all that Jesus began to do and teach. By way of implication, that introduction to Acts, this is a continuation. And Jesus, in and who he is, what he accomplished, what he taught, was a continuation. Or continuation of God's plan from before the foundations of the earth. God's plan promised in the midst of the consequences given to the serpent in the garden. God's purpose promised to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, to bring blessing to all the nations who receive of Abraham. At this point in time in Acts, that's who you come. That male child was born. He's not merely a male, the Son of God. Vindicated in his resurrection in the grave. And now the truth about Jesus being, yes, the son of a poor carpenter, but a questionable birth. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Prophet. Jesus said to the disciples in chapter 1, verse 8 of Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Guess where Ethiopia was? In the mindset and understanding of a first century person in Jerusalem, the end of the earth. However, this Ethiopian eunuch is not the first person from the end of the earth to hear that Jesus is the Christ. In chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the first 120 disciples, and they were accused of being drunk, and Peter spoke up, there was among them men, Jews, from all over, referring to chapter 2, Parthians, and Medes, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya, verse 11, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. Notice that Egypt. That's where this is from. So he's not even the first person. He's not even the first person from the ends of the earth to hear the truth about Jesus. And yet the Lord takes Philip from the midst of a revival in an area with lots of people who are coming to faith, as we would say, believing in Jesus, being saved, converted, to the middle of nowhere, to this one man. We can ask all kinds of questions about this passage. There's all kinds of ideas, even recorded by those who were not writing scripture, who came after this time, saying what that Ethiopian eunuch did when he got back there. But scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know. What we do know is what's going on here. There is a consistency. There are some things that are common and always true. God uses his people as his mouthpiece to bring the truth about Jesus to other people. When, where, and who? You never know. You never know. Exactly what's going on here. It's interesting in the passage, it's talking about a sheep that is silent, doesn't open its mouth. And then Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and said, there's a redundancy there. The lamb who was silent, then Philip opens his mouth. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You will open your mouth and you will tell whomever, wherever, whenever about me. That is what's going on here. We also ask the question, is this wonderful? How did he know the Lord wanted him to go there, then, to that guy? The answer is, all we know is that he knew. Well, is that supposed to happen for us? Get up, go to Walmart, go to the blue car, and there's going to be a guy listening to scripture on his iPhone. No! How would I know? Is the Lord? Is it my burrito? I don't know. How do we know? Is this the norm or not? There's a parallel here with Philip. If you know your Old Testament, Philip looks a lot like Elijah. Elijah running up to a chariot. Elijah, the man of God, through whom signs and wonders are done. And Philip explains what? Jesus from Isaiah. Is Elijah the norm? What happened with Elijah? Where was Elijah? The northern kingdom. When? Under Ahab and Jezebel. Who is he ministering to? Who does he speak to? Whose chariot does he run up to? Ahab. It doesn't make any sense. Yet, Elijah, praise no rain, praises rain. The prophet Baal and the water that he pours on the wood. Buddy, anyone ever tell you wet wood doesn't light? This is all strange. It's not normal. It's God indicating that he's at work. Not normal. Not that part. Elijah wasn't the only prophet. He's the only prophet doing the things he did. Philip's not the only Christian, but he's the only Christian doing the things he's doing. If being led by God or directed by God the way Philip was supposed to be normal for the Christian life, you would see it all over the place and you'd see some destruction. God doesn't leave us in the dark. If we're supposed to know when and where and to whom in such a direct manner like Philip knows, you would expect some direction in Scripture. We're not given that. There is no such instruction. Instead, we're supposed to make the most of our time, and every opportunity, living such lives among those who don't know Jesus, that Jesus is Lord. Whenever, wherever, quite often where, the when, and the who are unexpected. They're surprising. But what doesn't change is God speaks through his people. They open their mouth, and others hear. Oh, Jesus. We're not told. He probably wasn't reading just these couple of verses. It's an excerpt from what he was reading. We don't know all that they said between each other, because it says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, with an indication and an implication, he goes further than that scripture. Beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. Beginning with this scripture, sounds just like Jesus on the road to Emmaus to those disciples. And beginning with, he tells them, now it's Philip, open his mouth. Much is said, we know this, because all of a sudden, the eunuch says, hit the brakes! There's water! Let me get baptized! Where'd you get that idea from? Just because you're not told everything Philip said to him. Doesn't mean he didn't say more. He said more. Philip told him, the one in that passage. It's not the prophet. It is someone else. It's Jesus, the guy from Nazareth. Yes, he was crucified. He died. Great and holy. God raised him on the third day. He was among us for 40 days, but he's not here now. He ascended to the Father's right hand, and he will return to judge. God has appointed him that judge. And now, all who turn from their disobedience to God and their rebellion against him, who believe in Jesus, receive forgiveness of their sins, when you turn from your rebellion, are baptized in the name of Jesus, you are in God's kingdom. What good news that would be. He's probably a black guy who's a eunuch, i.e., he has been castrated. He can never be a part of God's people. What good news that we have got from him. Bam! Nope, gone! Eunuch goes on his way. It's not the crowds of Samaria that were rejoicing. It's now one man who's rejoicing. One man who Philip spoke to. He opened his mouth to this strange man in the middle of nowhere on the way to the ends of the earth. You don't know as much as you want to know, you know enough. What's going on here? God's train is moving forward. God's purpose is being accomplished. God's plan to bring blessing to all the nations is happening. You know the book of Acts ends? God's purpose moving forward. It just ends. It just ends with Paul arrested but preaching Christ. You never know where, you never know when, you never know who, but you always know how. That's the custom. God's people open their mouths and proclaim the word here in Acts that comes up again and again to be translated. They evangelized. That was the word. They preached. They spoke the good news. The word gospel. All those words, same idea. They opened. Yes, he's the poor carpenter's son from the whole earth. He is the Son of God who has been lifted up, right now raised from the Father's right hand. And through the cross, he has brought about a provision, the opportunity for the ability to have your rebellion, your dishonoring of God that you've done to reborn. Right from you. You can be right with God. If you turn, you can believe or baptize as you. That's the constant. Open your mouth and proclaim Jesus. When? For where? For who? To whom? Always done things that way also. On one thing, we should actually expect him to be unexpected. Abram, old guy, really? He's your choice? Joseph? That one? Daddy's favorite? Really? Jesus. Anything good for the matter? First century? I mean, they don't even have landlines yet, let alone iPhones. conquer people? Jews? His weapon, his time, his fame. From our perspective, all of the unexpected, we should have to expect that. And when, and where, and the who, as unexpected as it might be, you are a child of God. You are one of His. Your faith is in Christ and the forgiveness of your sins. Your response, our response, gets to be run. I love the figures that are going on. Philip runs up to the chariot and opens his mouth. In the very passage that comes before the one that's referred to in this section that was read for us this morning, in the very passage before that, this is how beautiful are the feet of those who come to the community. Maybe you recognize it from Romans, where Paul quotes it. How can they believe who have not heard? And how can they hear if no one goes? And how can anyone go if they're not sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let me give you another title for this passage. Philip's got some beautiful feet. He runs to the unexpected. He runs. I know freight trains don't plunge into the water and keep on going normally. We don't design them that way. We wouldn't plan it that way.
I'll
get on his train into the water. I'll run to Yahweh's way. When I was dead in my sin, when I was rebelling and hating Yahweh Christ God, leave my logic at the door. My plans for church growth and expansion at the door. My ideas of strategic missions. I know the marching orders. I know the blessed curtain open my mouth. Oh, praying the Lord. Jesus Christ. Where? When? Who? That's why he's running to my father. Father, we lie at the same time. Think too much. Not enough. Even the how. Our spirit is a more thirsty prayer. expected. To us, that we